We live in uncertain times, don't we? I know this is a catchphrase, but the only constant in life is change. It's kind of how it is for us. It's so difficult for us with so many things going on that we find ourselves very uncertain, because what we knew when we were young, maybe it's not the same today, or maybe what we knew even last year, we find is not the same today, or maybe what I knew yesterday, I find today, is not the same. So much information, we're awash in all kinds of a flood. How do we sort it out? How do we figure out which of those strains of information are true and which ones are trustworthy? What can we depend upon? Because when we are not able to depend upon something, we begin to get this sense of insecurity. And out of this insecurity, it plays tricks on our brains. We get to feel the sense of being always on edge, maybe always a little bit fearful, not sure why. There's a sense of foreboding that comes because we don't know where we can place our feet. We don't know what we can trust. We don't know what is going to be secure for us. Anxiety raises up, and it's in pandemic mode all around us. Part of it has to do with this sense of insecurity that we all feel, and it raises itself up. Sometimes it causes us to pull back away from people because we don't know what we can trust, who we can trust. Sometimes it causes us simply to look out for our own, calling us to pull more into ourselves and become less aware of those around us, because it is just part of our defense mechanism of what happens when we as humans enter into times of uncertainty. Uncertainty is not new, okay? I'm not going to say it's a brand new thing that we are living in times that are uncertain, but the fact is that we still struggle with uncertainty over and over again. And this week, like last week, like next week, and the week that follows, we'll be looking through the book of Psalms. And through the book of Psalms gives us patterns, gives us helps, gives us clues for how it is that we can live in a more balanced state. Today we'll be looking at what do we do with the uncertainty around us as we look at Psalm 19. But what do we do when we're faced with uncertainty? Where do we go when we're not sure which way to turn? How do we chart a course when we don't even have the map about where it is that we are to go? How do we find the answers when, hey, I'll be honest with you, I don't most of the time even know what the questions are. Just, you know, trying to get by one day at a time. How do we do that? We're going to look at Psalm 119. Again, if you have Bibles with you today, I would invite you to go ahead and open that up. But we're going to be talking about this idea of what God has left out here for us. Go to 19:1, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. And I'm going to just read it. I'll read it for you. You're going to say, wait a minute, how is it we're getting this idea of uncertainty? Because nowhere in it does it talk about uncertainty. Nowhere in it does it talk about areas of confusion. And we'll look at it and see where we see these clues. That this is what he is giving us, an antidote for this uncertainty that is pandemic in the world around us. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1, says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens, and it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. For they are more precious than gold, more than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern his own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant away also from willful sins. May they not rule over me, for then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression." May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's Psalm 19, 14 short verses for us to pattern through and maybe even pray along, and especially in times when we don't know what the questions are, let alone what the answers are, when we don't know the direction because we've never been this way before, when we don't know what we can trust and what we cannot trust, when we need to find a place of security. Psalm 19 is there to be a reminder that there is such a place. The way this psalm concludes, I would just offer to you, this is exactly what we're talking about here. As it wraps up, may the words of my heart and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Maybe you're just reading that and we think that's just the postscript and it really doesn't mean anything, but it is what gives us clues into what it is the psalmist is wanting us to know. When he talks about the Lord, talking about my guide, my leader, my provider and protector, and we talked about my rock, talking about a foundation, a security, of something that is solid on which we can build and which we can hold to. And he talks about my redeemer, that is someone who comes to rescue, someone who comes to our defense when things seem to be out of control for us. There is one who is going to be our redeemer. And these three names here give us an idea of this is what, these are some of the internal clues that we see in the psalm that say this is what he's about. He wants us to recognize that this is who God is, and this is the answer to the problems that we struggle with when we find that the world around us is filled with insecurity. Now, I'm not going to do an unscientific poll. I'm not going to ask you questions. How many of you feel the world around is insecure? Because I think we'd all raise our hands. It's just the way it is. A couple of years ago in the magazine called Forbes, maybe you're familiar with it. I'm not smart enough to read Forbes most of the time. They ran an article, and it was called this. It was called 11 Ways Successful People Overcome Uncertainty. Now, anyone who ever has been uncertain is going to want to read this article, right? Because we all want to be successful people. And it began by talking about this study that was done, that there was a neuroeconomist down at Caltech. They were watching the imaging of brains as people were being tested. And they were tested by having to make bets. They were having to make bets and they were watching how their brain functioned. And they would put them into this study, and as the bets continued, they would give them less and less information. So the heightened, more and more uncertainty would be put before them. And in this test, they found that as the subjects went along, the less information they had, the more uncertainty they had, the more irrational and erratic their decisions became. Now, this runs counterintuitive. Stay with me. I know some of you are already rolling your eyes, but hold on. This is really interesting because it's the way our brains work. You would think with less information, we would be all the more careful and all the more rational to be weighing the information and wrestling with that information we do have, recognizing we don't have very much. But the fact is, the way our brains operate is we're wired differently. That the less information we have and the more pressure we have to make a decision in the midst of this uncertainty, the more irrational and the more, it's just the opposite of really what would be best for us, we become. Now, this was a scientific study. This was in a secular magazine. And they said that the reason go with me on this. This is a little scientific here, but you can be nerdy like me. As the uncertainty of scenarios increased, the subject's brains shifted control over to what's called the limbic system in your brain. And the limbic system is that part of your brain where emotions like anxiety and fear are generated. So we can boil this down that even I can understand. The more uncertainty means that my brain is going to process that uncertainty as fear and anxiety. And you're saying, of course, doesn't it do that for everyone? Well, here we have scientific proof. Okay, so you're wondering, where does this come from? Well, they suppose it is something that we have as part of our defense mechanisms, how it is that humans, that we should enter into the world, but it doesn't become helpful in a world that's ever changing, in a world that says, that what was true yesterday may not be true today. What we grew up believing or grew up knowing is not what we know today. And so it says there are 11 things they went into saying, 11 things that we can do to help us succeed in the midst of this. And it's interesting. I gave only three because I didn't want to do 11. First off, I thought it was a little bit of BS. But second off, because, of course, as I read these articles, I think I'm smarter than the person writing it. God forgive me, but I do. And so I'm reading this, and I'm saying, okay. But they said, okay, so the first three was to quiet that limbic system. The second one was to be and stay positive. And the third one was to know that successful people know what they know and what they don't know. Now, and I'm not going to go into all 11 because I don't have room on the screen, but for these three, I was caught because I've seen this pattern before. It's funny how it is when we get into this, especially into areas of mental health and how we do things in this world, that oftentimes truths that are contained in the Bible that have been taught by the church for thousands of years are now suddenly becoming discovered by modern science as this is how it is. Shock of all shocks. This is a good pattern. This is a good path. Whoa, look, we're going to sell magazines with this new truth. Yeah, it's not a new truth. It's been there for 3,000, 4,000 years. It's just that no one's paying attention to the Bible any longer. Number one, they quiet their limbic systems. Okay, so that's where the anxiousness comes. That's where the fears come. You know, in Psalm 46, verse 10, we are invited to what? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted over all the earth. The psalmist reminds us of this invitation. That, yeah, this author in Forbes was so brilliant to come up with this idea of being still. But it's not his, and it's not new. Staying positive. And as I was saying, okay, what does the scripture tell us about this? Staying positive. And I was brought back to Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the deepest and darkest of times, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. If that's not an invitation to remain positive, even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, there's a reason that we can be positive, not just because we're Pollyanna. Whereas in this article, it just says, stay positive. Oh yeah, my world is falling apart. I can stay positive. There's no reason in the secular material that gives us that we should stay positive. It just says that if you stay positive, you'll be more successful. But the scripture reminds us there's a reason why we can stay positive. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can remain positive because he is with us. His rod and his staff, they give us comfort. He prepares a table. Even when we're surrounded by enemies, he provides for us. Even when threats abound all about us. And the third one, he said, and they know what they know and what they don't. And again, I think of something as simple as Proverbs 3:5, where it says, trust in the Lord, this is what we can know, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Maybe you want to write this down, whether it be something like, even though I'm walking through a deep and dark time, the Lord is with me, from Psalm 23. Or maybe it is just something as simple as, I need to be still because everything around me is raging and I need to know that he is God. And this becomes my starting point for the week. Or maybe something is this, simple as this, just to have a little note to yourself, trust in the Lord and lean not on my own understanding. Don't let all my fears, all my imaginations get in the way, but I'm going to work on trusting in the Lord. These become, again, I think that they're intuitively, as we as believers read this, we see this scientific data that says these are the things that we can do, but I'm going to suggest to you, again, they're not new. They are simply the ways that God has always been trying to coach us into finding a better balance, a better sense of who we are in the midst of this world that we live in. That idea of knowing what we know and what we don't, one of the things we don't know, folks, is the future. And yet it bends us all around, doesn't it? How many of you play the game? The game is called What If? Okay? You've got an imagination of what might happen someday, or maybe what you need to do, but all of a sudden you become paralyzed because you're playing the game, what if? What if this goes wrong? What if they do that? What if something such happens over here? What if I'm not able to handle this? What if, what if, what if? And that what if always is going to constantly just undermine us. And again, to that, to all of us who like to play the what if game and get caught in that, this Proverbs 3:5 is for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him. Even submit your future to him. All the what ifs, I surrender all. All the what ifs, let's surrender those and no longer be paralyzed by the what ifs that could possibly be, that generate out of the sense of insecurity, out of the sense of fear, out of the sense of anxiety that just grows up bigger than we are. I've never quoted him in a sermon before. I know I said this last week too, but I've never quoted him in a sermon before, but I think he's a profound philosopher for our contemporary time and also a Super Bowl MVP. Aaron Rodgers said this just recently. My future is a beautiful mystery. Keep that. Next time the what if game comes along and you're tempted to play it and be paralyzed by it, and be riddled by the anxiety that it brings, simply say, my future is a beautiful mystery and I know who holds the keys to that mystery. That's going to become the answer to our problems. That's going to be the answer that God brings to our insecurities, not focusing on what we can't know, but focusing on what we do know. And that's where the psalmist in Psalm 119 took us as he walked through all of those psalms. Remember, we read it at the beginning. I'm not going to read it all through it again, but it'd be worth going back today and reading it over. I will point this out. Notice that in Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1 and going through verse 6, he actually has it broken into two different parts. The first part, this verses 1 through 6, where he talks about how the heavens declare the glories of God and how the sun rises in one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. There is a focus on how good God is because he is revealing his goodness and his faithfulness in creation. And so for all of us who wonder, is God good or is this life going to end up in a train wreck like I'm afraid of? No, we can know this, that God has shown himself to be faithful in the way that he has created a dependable creation around us. And again, go back and read, because then at verse 6, it transitions into verse 7. And in verse 7, it changes its course. It's no longer talking about how God is revealed as faithful in creation, but it begins to talk about his word and about how we can depend upon his word. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They make wise the simple. That's good news for me. The precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. Again, he is inviting us to something here that often we forget in the midst of our uncertain world, that we think that we're in this crazy world and nothing is knowable. But he says, no, we can depend upon the word of God. And so we see in this section, this 7 through 14, or at least 7 through 13, that he talks about that this is, that God is dependable because his word is true. Friends, as we take this pattern, as we pray this pattern, as we look to the patterns that Scripture offers to us, that it begins to give us a sense of hope. Number three, again, back to the article. Number three was that the people who are successful know what they know and they know what they don't. That is, it's kind of redundant, obvious, I don't know what you want to call it, dumb maybe. But we do know this. We may not know what the future holds for us, but you maybe have heard this before. I may not know what the future holds, but I do know who holds my future. And that can be the foundation. That can be the bedrock of a life that is able to survive in the midst of all the uncertainty that goes on around. My kids are a mess, and their life is out of control. My life is a mess, and my marriage is in a difficult spot. My world is upset. I don't like my job. There's so much going on around me, and I don't know where to turn. And yet, in the midst of this, my health begins to fail because I'm getting older. There are things going on that I wish I could control, but I can't. I've got to make a decision about where I'm going to move or where I'm going to move my mom. And all of a sudden, it becomes a big deal, because we don't know what we can base our hope in. Psalm 19 and so many other places remind us, in the midst of this uncertainty, God invites us to find our hope in Him. And we can give Him, not only surrender to Him, and we can give Him our lives, we can give Him our praise, and we know that He will receive that and lead us through. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. We're going to get ready to send out into this week. But Father, as we close this time of our being together, as we close this time of considering your invitation, of considering your word for us, the hope that you would offer to us, not to wave a magic wand and make everything in our world secure and as we want, but that you would invite us to a place of trust, that you would enable us to see through the fog of our uncertainty to the certainty that you extend to us, that even though we walk through the valleys of shadows of death, of deep and difficult times, God, that we know that you are there walking with us. Help us to recognize your presence, to hold to your goodness, to rely on your faithfulness, and to find that the anxiety that seeks to strangle us will lose its hold. The fears that surround us will continue to dissipate, and that we will live not as successful people, but as victorious people because of your presence at work in our lives. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.